In this episode of Bear Podcast,
SETI receives first alien signal from mysterious star.
Drug price hiker now has dollar peel competitor.
Ex-cop lures men to his glory hole.
And beard baubles will turn your beard into a Christmas tree.
Yes, all these and listener feedback coming up next.
Bear Podcast 588. Bigger than the Earth, floating through space.
Kind of concerns many of us, even gay people.
He used to be cute, but that bitch just, she needs to be slapped.
Strip cards against humanity.
And it's Sunday night, did you do the sing-along with Sound of Music?
One of them is gay and the other is straight.
I'm so gay.
Apparently he became gay.
It might be a source of sexually positive pleasure.
We worked on it, we had pleasure, that's great.
That's how it's done.
Welcome everyone to Bear Podcast. I am Nard.
And I'm Ice Bear.
Yes, that's right. And actually, I'm a smiley poop right now.
Actually, you're just full of shit.
I'm the shitty friend everybody calls.
That's right.
Yeah, so, yeah, welcome to episode 588, and it's a Monday, October 26th, 2015.
And happy Halloween!
Happy Halloween! Woohoo! Okay, so, yeah, we were wearing these costumes last Saturday at Patrick and Jody's party. That's a lot of fun. I didn't drink much. You drank a lot. I
didn't. What do you determine by me drinking a lot?
Oh, wait. Let's just say, let me rephrase that. You drank more than I did because I was the designated driver.
That's right.
How's that? Okay.
That's right.
Yeah, so Ray drank a few screwdrivers.
Yeah.
A few glasses.
It's mostly orange juice.
It's just mostly orange juice. But anyway, so this,
nice.
It was raining. It was raining all Saturday.
All day Saturday.
Yeah. So what's our hurricane? What's the name of our hurricane that went to the Gulf?
I don't know. I don't think it actually went to the Gulf. It stopped in Mexico.
It stopped in Mexico.
It's just all the moisture from it got the low pressure it created sucked all the moisture out of our Gulf and dropped it on Texas.
I think it's called Patricia, but I don't even know if it's a hurricane.
That bitch.
That bitch. By Patricia. No, it's not Felicia, but Patricia. But anyway, it was just rain the whole day and the whole Saturday, and we all got wet.
And Maynard was outside watering the lawn in the rain.
No, I did not. Didn't do anything in the rain. But it was a lot of fun because Saturday night we did go to the Halloween party. We were thinking nobody's going to go because it's raining so hard.
You can't keep a good gay down.
So thank you, Patrick and Jody, for hosting. Yeah. It's pretty fun. And I got to meet a few nice bears there, like Dylan and Steve and who else? And lots of friends. Oh, by the way, shout out to Chris. Christopher. He was wearing a Mardi Gras mask, so I got to see him. We got to see him. And then what else happened? You know what? The whole night, you guys are all watching iZombie. What's up with that?
Well, no. Most of the night, I was sitting there explaining iZombie to Chad.
Oh, Chad.
And I was like, Chad, just watch the show.
Well, for one thing, the volume is off, and at first, they didn't even turn on the closed captioning.
Well, they turned on closed captioning. But Chad was too busy chatting anyhow, so.
Well, yeah, it's not really a good...
Oh, Chad.
Yeah, I know. He was wearing a neck brace. And,
and it was not a Halloween costume.
I thought, whoa, is that a Halloween costume? No, I really had a surgery. Oh, okay.
But he should have dressed up as the chick from 16 Candles.
Then it would have been...
Then it would have been a Halloween costume, and he got away with it.
Yeah, that's right. So it was a lot of fun. We got to chat with them, and... got to see Izzy for a long time. Izzy and Michael. God, I haven't seen Izzy for a long time.
I know.
I think the last time we saw him was we were moving him. Moving from one house to another. That was around one of those Bear Watch days. So anyway, Ray, so explain. Mine is kind of... Okay, I'm going to stand up so you can see. It's a smiley poo. That's my costume. If you're watching the video right now, yeah, that's what I'm wearing right now. It's a smiley poo. Ray, so explain yours and explain to the audience what is your costume supposed to be?
Okay, there's this cartoon on the Cartoon Network called We Bear Bears, and no, it's not about bears barebacking. It's a cartoon.
It's a kid's show.
It's a kid's show, but it's very adult-oriented.
Yeah,
there are three bears. There's Grizzly Bear, Panda Bear, and Ice Bear.
Wait, what are their names? Grizz,
Panda.
His name is Panda?
Yeah.
Just Panda?
Panda, and Ice Bear.
And Ice Bear.
So, Ice Bear is a polar bear. Panda Bear is a picture taking, camera holding Asian bear. Typical. And Grizz is just Grizz. He's a grizzly bear. So I very much relate to Ice Bear on there because, like Ice Bear, had Ice Bear went to this party this weekend, he'd have walked in and says, Ice Bear sees many sluts.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Ice Bear is the one who's really quiet, but then, you know, he's a one-liner kind of guy.
Yeah.
And he always prefaces it with, you know, Ice Bear is that. Ice Bear is this.
So go check cartoons out. They're on demand. You can watch them. They're only like 15 minutes long. They're really cute. Ninjas is my favorite so far.
Oh, yeah, that was fun.
So, Ninjas.
Yeah, just to describe it a little bit, they're kind of trying to help out in a movie theater, shushing people. So yeah, that was that's all they were doing. it was the first episode I've ever seen of Bear Bears. We Bear Bears, but that's a lot of fun.
Hold your shit.
Okay. So I guess that's the summary of our weekend. We really just were in a Halloween party because. There's nothing much
well,
to
Saturday
do.
I laid in bed all day and watched the season 3 of Hemlock Grove on Netflix.
Yeah, I think it is interesting. I saw it for a while because I don't want to watch it because I want to watch the whole thing when I get the chance. But then I saw just a part of it while Ray was watching it, and I said, wow.
He was staring into my bedroom.
That's right. I was in his bedroom.
It's like it's supposed to be private. Next thing I look around, he's standing in the door. God knows how long he's been standing there.
I might accidentally watch you jack off or something.
Nah.
No, you're not. Anyway, so with Hemlock Grove, I know I'll watch it sometime soon because right now I'm watching Longmire, and that's what I'm – it's pretty good. It's based on a book by Walt Longmire series, something like that. And I've been watching it, and it stars Robert Taylor, Katie Sackhoff, and
Starbuck.
Starbuck, who played Starbuck in Battlestar Galactica, and Lou Diamond Phillips, and really, really old looking there. But yeah, he's – it's good. I mean, I'm enjoying the film and the series and I'm in season 2 right now. Okay, so speaking of seasons, last night was a big thing on the Facebook.
Spoiler alert for The Walking Dead.
Are we gonna spoil it really, or
well, everybody else has. It wasn't like it. We didn't even watched it yet, and it was already all over Facebook because we were like an hour behind, like 45 minutes behind starting the episode. So
let's not name the name, but at least say
there
that somebody
is
died.
A main character that allegedly died last night.
Died. Okay,
but
there's a but. If you have no but, you're a
on all the other episodes when a major character died. What one thing particularly stuck out about them?
They're shown on Talking Dead, their names are shown? Or?
Close. They're always on Talking Dead after the episode.
Oh, that's right. Whoever dies, yeah, that's right. That is a pattern.
And that didn't happen this time.
So it's possible.
And there's a release that this person may still be in the show, as in flashbacks or finishing out a storyline or something. So I don't think they're dead.
Maybe, maybe not. We'll find out.
Somebody was texting me that it was Daryl last night, and I was like, what? They're not going to kill
him. No. Daryl cannot die.
Well, anybody can die.
Except Daryl. Well, Rick can die, but not Daryl. I don't know. I don't like Daryl that much. Not to me. But many people are really enamored by Daryl for some reason. Anyway, so if you guys are watching Walking Dead, sorry if we are going to, you know, talking about Walking Dead right now because something really big happened last night. Let's just say, in the comic books, it was in the same line as that, but totally
different. No. In the comic books.
Yeah, I know the death is different, but it's the same person.
Same person, but it's meaningful, and it really sets up a reason for you to hate a certain person.
Yeah. So, yeah, if you guys are watching Go Walking Dead, go ahead and watch it on AMC. It's pretty good.
So, anyway.
Okay,
that's all we're going to say about that. We'll see next weekend, which is an hour and a half episode. So make sure your TiVos and DVRs are set to record it in a timely manner.
Okay. Well, let's go to our topics, Ray.
What is our topic? Because I think you changed them.
Yeah, I moved it around because
Okay.
This wasn't gay, but it's not a gay article, but it's okay.
It's very gay.
It's not gay.
It's very gay.
It's not gay.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Drug with range-inducing 5,000% price hike now has a $1 pill competitor.
This is news from last week, but it's still worth talking about because it's...
Well, yeah. Well, the whole story with that douchebag, because that's pretty much what he is as a douchebag.
Yeah, Shkreli. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Shkreli. Because all this shit's come out about him since then. No offense.
Mm-hmm. What? Oh, yeah, that's right.
No offense.
No offense taken.
That he's really just a douchebag with money. And there are a lot of those, apparently. So, but Turing Pharmaceuticals, the company that last month raised the price of decades-old drug Darprim from $1,350 a pill to $750, now has a competitor. Premise Pharmaceuticals. Did I say that right? Premise?
Yeah, you're good.
Yeah, Pharmaceuticals, Inc., a specialty pharmaceutical company based in San Diego, announced today that it has made an alternative to Darprim that costs about $1 a pill or $99 for a 100-pill supply. While he respects Turing's right to charge patients and insurance companies whatever he believes is appropriate, there may be more cost-effective compound options for medications such as Darprim. Mark Baum, CEO of Premise, said the news release. The alternative is not exactly the same as Darprim, but it's close. Darprim's active ingredient, which is
pyrimethamine,
which has been available since 1953 for the treatment of parasitic diseases, namely malaria and toxoplasmosis. And Premium's alternative also contains pyrimethamine as well as
leucovorin,
which the company said helps to reverse pyrimethamine's negative effects on bone marrow. Until now, Turing was the sole source of the pyrimethamine-based drug, which often prescribed to patients with compromised immune systems, such as those suffering from HIV, AIDS, and cancer. The price increase of Darprim announced last month sparked widespread outrage against the company, its founder and chief executive, Martin Shkreli. The move by how you say it?
Shkreli.
Sounds like a krill. Yeah. The move by Empress is a direct response to those events, and the company said it plans to produce more cheap alternative drugs. In the news release, the company announced the start of a new program called Premise Cares, which will ensure affordable versions of the 7,800 generic FDA-approved drugs.
So it's actually
all this money they've been charging for this drug all along.
Yeah,
it can be made for a dollar.
Oh yeah. Because the generic, this is pyrimethamine. It's according to this, according to what I read before. This new pharmaceutical company. So Shkreli, the douchebag, sells it by itself, but the new company is making a compound of this. It's combining it with something else. So in essence, it's a totally different drug, but it's the same inside it. So they can charge whatever they want. It's not like just saying this, they're selling the same thing, but it's actually part of it is the same thing.
They're just selling a generic version.
It's still a generic version of it. So it's, but they're charging $0.99 or $99 for 100 pills. So, I mean, if he undercuts Shkreli that much, and I really hope Shkreli just really, crashes yeah. because of this. Who's going to buy from him anymore? And for one thing, what they are doing, they added something to it. It's leucovorin, which is, I guess, the side effects of pyrimethamine.
Yeah, but I think the other drug has that too.
Has that effect?
Well, I think they both do the same thing.
They both do the same thing.
So they just add it's the same drug. They're just reformulating it in a different manner. So
it says that it helps to reverse the negative effects on bone marrow on the pyrimethamine.
Think the other one does the same thing too.
So it's good that somebody's competing with this douchebag Shkreli. So that'd be great. I mean, yeah. So what do you guys think? I mean, I've been reading about this on Facebook and people are saying, they hope that Shkreli, crashes and I don't know. He's rich enough so he doesn't really care, I guess.
Enough backlash.
Well, the only reason why he raised the price is because he's saying that the money that will be drawn from it will be used for improved for the improvement of the drug or more research on how to improve the drug. But that's what the drug is doing already. I mean, if this is used for this, for this, for, 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 uh, for fighting this disease.
I think he was just trying to be a douchebag because his company was the only one manufacturing it.
Yeah.
And he didn't have any competition. So he's like, well, I can do this and screw them.
Yeah. So they can do it. So yeah, he can do it. So that's why he did it.
Because for all this time, they've been charging $13 a pill.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also interesting that this one company can come through and say, oh, we can produce the same thing for a dollar.
Yeah.
How many other medications are we paying out the wazoo for?
Good question.
That could be produced cheaply. And I understand there's a lot of money that goes into research and development. I know there's millions and billions of dollars that goes into that. And pharmaceutical companies have to make those back. But it's also that diminishing return and effects type thing. So
that's why it's a lot cheaper to buy drugs in Mexico or even Canada or even other countries.
Because the drugs there are priced to fit the economy and the market.
Yeah.
Just like you can buy the same car here in the U.S. and pay $30,000 for it, buy the same car in Mexico and pay half for it.
Because of the economy.
Because what is based off the economy.
So people who prefer to buy stuff there, like drugs. You can really buy cars there. You can buy a car there, yeah, but you bring
have,
it here.
But bring it here, you have to have a bunch of work done on it because they don't have the EPA standards we have here. So, which really aren't that much more to add to the cost of a car. They act like it is, but it's not.
No, it doesn't. Anyway, let's move on to some of our entertainment, which is a lot. It's very interesting. I'm sorry, Ray, but I know you love Gotham. But I think this would be more interesting for me.
Why do you think that?
I don't know. Because it's, you know, it's about the Man of Steel. Or before the Man of Steel.
Let's talk Krypton.
So David Goyer says, Krypton takes place 200 years before Man of Steel. At a press junket for Da Vinci's Demons. Oh, did I read that before? Demons. Comic book's Ashley Robinson managed to sneak in a couple of questions about David Goyer's in-development DC Comics TV project, Krypton. The show meant to show Krypton as at its height of power is in development at Sci-Fi. Oh, Sci-Fi's going to do it. Okay. But not much has been revealed about it so far. Now we know when it takes place. Relative to the DC film universe that was launched with Man of Steel, which showed a bit of Krypton itself. It takes a place 200 years before Man of Steel. If you watch Man of Steel with Henry Cavill, so this TV series is going to be like 200 years before.
It's the prequel.
It's a total prequel. If you think Gotham is like 30 years before, how many years? 30, 40, 20 years?
About 20.
About 20 years before Batman came about. This one goes a long way, like 200 years. So, okay, it takes place 200 years before Man of Steel. We're treating Krypton like it's a historical piece, which is something it shares with a TV show he was there to directly promote. We look to previous cultures on Earth to model that, what that would be like. They plan to show a lot more than what was seen in Man of Steel, of course, which focused primarily on the end of Krypton as it exploded due to generations of abuse of the world. The idea of digging deep attracted Goyer. We scratched the surface in the film, and for me, that was the allure. He said, I was fascinated as a kid with the books about Krypton, and they've only shaded in a tiny bit. So we'll learn about the politics of the world. We'll learn about the culture, the art, all the different guilds. So, you know, they're not going to be super. They're still humans in that.
Well, they're Kryptonians.
They're Kryptonians.
But they, because of their sun,
they're not going to be like super powerful.
No, but they're very high tech.
Very, very high tech. So it's all high tech in this one. So that means looking at the capital city, Kryptopolis. Oh my God. This is stretching it too far.
Wow, that's the name of the capital city on Krypton.
Really? Kryptopolis?
Yeah. That's why.
It's the first time I've ever heard of it. Really?
Then obviously you never read Superman.
I guess I didn't. So a lot of different locations. Some of the other moons, which is kind of cool. He teased in the comics, Krypton has had as many as three moons. Wegthor, Mithen, and Xenon. As for other cities, Argo City and Kandor would be the other two big name metropolises, but Goyer wouldn't call them by name yet. Not yet, no. Argo City is where Supergirl's Kara Zor-El was born and raised, and Kandor was famously shrunken and bottled by Superman villain Brainiac, which reminds me, right now, it's recording a DVR here right now below the TV, is
Supergirl.
So after this show, after recording the show, we're going to watch Supergirl already. I'm excited about that. It's another, superhero TV show.
Well, I hope it turns out to be very good because there's not that many strong female superheroes on TV.
That's right. It's about time to have a female.
I mean, we got The Flash. We got The Arrow.
Well, let's just say there was a chance, how many years ago? 3-4 years ago, maybe, when they had Bionic Woman. Remember? Did you ever watch that? I liked it. I mean, it's a girl.
They had the remake of
the Bionic Woman.
I watched the original Bionic Woman.
Maybe. Well, yeah, we know about that. Lindsay Wagner. Yeah. Okay, so we're talking about the one with, I don't know her name, but one of the characters is also Katie Sackhoff.
Yeah.
Was also a Bionic Woman. So there are two Bionic Women there, and then they canceled it after one season.
I didn't think it made it a full season.
It didn't even make a full season. I don't understand. So female heroes. Let's just hope this one will be okay when the Supergirl comes out.
Yeah.
But you know,
and because they're doing it under the CW, CBS, and Warner Brothers logo, there could be cross episodes between the Arrow and Flash and Supergirl.
Yeah, it's gonna tear them both apart, unless they know something about Kryptonite. Anyway, that's when they see Batman. Okay. All right, let's move on from...
Okay. All right, Daniel Radcliffe talks masturbation, fluffing, and fame. You can see the full article at playboy.com, and we'll put the link in the show, but this is just the highlights.
Okay.
And since I've always been a fan of Daniel Radcliffe, because I always thought he was a little cutie. So,
really? When he was older, right?
Daniel Radcliffe's just cute. So, anyway.
He's good looking.
All right, so here are some of the questions that came up. On whether there was time to wank on the set. Yeah, I was like every other teenager in that sense. My favorite line about masturbation is Louis C.K. something like, "I found out about it when I was 11 and I didn't skip a day. I think I started very early before my teens, but not when I was on set. I wasn't going
oh my God.
When is Alan Rickman going to nail this scene so I can run back to my trailer? There's another feeling again, perfectly described by Louis C.K. That fear after you just jerked off that everyone knows what you did. But it'd been embarrassing to walk back on the set and look at the dignitaries of British acting royalty in the eye, knowing what I'd been doing. So
wait. Daniel Radcliffe, when he was young, he was Harry Potter.
Yes.
So he was jacking off while filming.
Well, no, that's what he's saying. That's what they asked him. Were you jacking off on the set of Harry Potter? And that's what his response was. Like
somebody knows the truth.
He's like, you know, that's what he's saying. Like, Alan Rickman nailed the scene so I can go jack off in my trailer. I mean, that's what he was saying.
God.
And then he was that whole thing about, like, no. If I did go do it, then I'd be embarrassed about walking back on the set and everybody know what I was
everybody
just doing in
do.
Front of Dame Maggie Smith and all the other people, sirs and dames of Harry Potter, the other cast.
Dumbledore was there too.
Yeah. Both of them. On whether there was fluffing involved during his Equus Broadway run, which I so wanted to go see. Him in this. Dude, there was no opportunity for fluffing. I was on stage for the entire show, and I ran around naked for 10 minutes on a scene that's about sexual failure and horse blinding. Imagine putting those two together. But I've heard stories about actors putting on an elastic band around their dicks. If you wank and then put an elastic band around the base of it, it keeps the blood in there. And then you whip it off and go out stage. I would have had to do it an hour and a half in advance. I'm pretty sure I would have castrated myself. I was shit scared in 17 when I did Equus, which is the age when you're most self-conscious. And I was very aware that a certain percentage of that audience is coming to look at my dick every night. You are so right, young man.
Oh, my God.
You are so right. Looking back, that was mental. I have a lot of respect for myself having the balls to do it, so to speak.
He's got the balls.
Yeah, so this is actually a very interesting article talking about his career and fame. And he said, they asked him, said, were Harry Potter always overshadowed your career? And he said, yes. He said, looking back at it now, I wouldn't have changed. I don't think he said he had changed it, but he said, it's like being Captain Kirk, like being William Shatner and Captain Kirk. You'll always be Captain Kirk, no matter what else you do. Which is why he did the whole Equus thing to kind of separate himself some from Harry Potter's. Like, I'm 17, and look at my little wanger.
Yeah, so, and he grew a beard and everything.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a big fan of, Radcliffe because,
I think Radcliffe's hot.
Big. Big bear, older, a beard, uncut dick, very beefy.
Who are you talking? Are you talking about Hagrid?
Oh, no. Oh, Jack Radcliffe. I'm talking about.
Oh, Jack you're talking Radcliffe. About Jack. Not-
Jack Radcliffe. Sorry, Jack Peter, Radcliffe is one of my.
Peter, you're so full of shit.
I am full of shit right now. See,
a turd.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
Hey. It's getting warm in here. Okay. I have to take off the hat because it's really
that's not
hot on the head.
Yeah, because you're just a warm turd just squirted out into the pool.
Thank you very much.
All steamy, like steamy pala dog food.
It's getting warm in this costume.
It's starting to smell, too.
Yeah, right. Anyway, it's time for the Gay, the Geek, and the Bizarre.
Okay.
Okay, I know we moved stuff around, but this one, I think it belongs here, and I have questions for you, Ray, to confirm, okay?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, so the first, the gay article that I picked here is The Gay Man's Guide to a Perfect Rim Job, which you can find right now at the Gay, the Geek, and Bizarre Facebook page, and it was published by Cesar. Thank you, Cesar. And it's about rimming.
I noticed Cesar did not post any comments on this.
Yes, it should be.
No professional opinion there, Cesar?
Yeah, Caesar should be able to tell us what's going on. Okay, so, The Gay Man's Guide to a Perfect Rim Job. So the straight world lately has taken to a booty-eating craze, but gay guys have known about it since the beginning. A good rim job doesn't require a tongue alone. You need to have feeling, passion, and above all, a hell of an open mind, of course. You know.
And a clean booty helps.
Yep. It's not like a vagina. We do not have a clitoris, obviously, but what we do have are tons of nerve endings that make us feel very happy when triggered. Some dudes have less than others, which is why it's important to explore his body a little before going to town. You want to give a perfect rim job. So here are some of the rules, okay? Okay, so Ray, be prepared for some questions.
Okay.
Teasing is always pleasing. So you tease around, you know, before you start, touch the balls and everything. And then lick first before you do anything else. I guess you do the tip. You just lick whatever. And let your tongue be the leader. So, yeah, I guess you just let your tongue move around.
That's right.
Okay.
Well, the thing you don't want to do is go.
Oh!
Oh, there's some guys like that.
Okay, so next is. Oh, gross. Spread his cheeks wider so you can stimulate the nerve endings. Usually
you don't have to do that. If they're a good bottom, they're like bam.
They spread it themselves.
They spread
it by
themselves. Yeah.
Okay. That's right, good. Okay. Here's another question. Is a question, Ray? Doggy style makes for better access. Comments.
That is true.
That is true. So doggy style meaning him on all fours and you.
Yes.
Okay.
Especially if they're laying on top of you. And giving you a blowjob.
Oh, it's like a 69, but oh, okay, that kind.
Yeah.
All right, gotcha.
It's like a doggy nine.
It's like a doggy nine. That should be the title of the show. Let me write that down. It's like a doggy nine. It's
so,
like a doggy nine. Okay.
Explore the areas around simultaneously.
Yeah, so as you are doing your tongue.
The inside of the legs on most guys, if they're not touched there often, are very sensitive.
Do you sometimes hit the cremasteric, you know, the cremasteric reflex? It's around your leg, and then you
I'm
see the
sure
balls moving. You've never seen that?
Oh yeah, where the balls are moving. Yeah,
the cremasteric reflex.
Yeah,
that's when you touch the side of the leg inside the thigh. You know, the inside where the balls, like right below the balls on the thigh side. So when you touch that, you see the balls move. Yeah. So that's called the cremasteric reflex. How do I know that? I don't know. I just know it for a long time. Okay, so explore the areas around simultaneously. Let the momentum grow. So what do you build up to something? Or I guess you make more forceful move? Or do you do some kind of build up? You know, just really soft in the beginning and then really hard.
Well, everything comes patience, and it all depends on how much patience you have. So,
okay.
And about what you want to do. So,
okay. So the last one is lift and wiggle his body like it weighs nothing. I guess you have full control. I guess if the guy's already in ecstasy. So it says here, when his legs are spread, but your hands underneath his tailbone and lift it so his ass is up in the air while you're going to town. Use his body and make him feel like a rag doll.
What's also nice to have them on the bed with their neck and back on the bed, and you have them picked up and their legs back over their head, and you're in their ass, and then you can look into their eyes while you're eating their ass.
Oh, God, that's hot. Okay.
For some people, you can do that.
Not for some people. What if it's a big bear?
Maybe not.
When you look up, you see a belly.
I wouldn't know.
You see a hairy belly when you lift up legs like that, and you're... So. Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, what do you guys think? Are these good a good guide for you guys? Who, if you were like doing rim jobs, to let us know. Okay. Let's go to the Geek Ray.
Okay, the Geek. Sadie receives first alien signal from mysterious star KIC. Oh, KFC. No, I mean KIC. 8462852. Now, that's a mouthful. Since the discovery of the mysterious distant star named KC8462852 that scientists say shows a huge artificial structure on the star's surface, SETI astronomers have announced that the first alien signals have been received from the Allen Telescope Array, ATA telescope. Awaiting more accurate information about the way this but an interview by UniversityToday.com, Gerald Harp from SETI Institute, shows that it is a weird periodic signal, which although potentially natural in origin, but there is clear value to examine it more closely. Besides natural explanation, so stressed University prefer Harp, but also a distant intelligence source into consideration. While ATA normally absorbs radio frequencies in the microwave range of 1 to 10 gigahertz, an ordinary kitchen microwave oven produces microwaves of around 2 gigahertz. Looking for the SETI astronomers, KIC8462852 currently, especially after transfers an even wider energy spectrum. Demand if they wanted to make it this way, so as huge extraterrestrial energy sources identify, Harp declined to comment. Currently, it is working on SETI Institute and a scientific journal article to the collected signals and hope to publish these soon. The website of this institute, SETI.org, will soon publish information about the captured signal. So, they're basically saying there's something floating around this star.
Okay, that's the scary part because it looks, well, the signals right now, what we can get, the signals are really, it's periodic. Once you hear something periodic, like, you know what, periodic, meaning it's not random. If it's taps, or you're hearing something really, you know, with a steady count, chances are it is artificial. Because if it's not, it would be random. Like if it's something knocking or something hitting metal or whatever, if it's a sound, you know it's not, it's, I can't say man-made, it's artificially made.
Artificially made.
Yeah. It would have been, you know what? What would really be scary if that periodic cycle was even a series of prime number counts, then you know it is. It's a true artificial intelligence, or not artificial intelligence. Sorry, that it is alien technology or an intelligence out there. So I say, don't contact them.
Well, you know, you get that whole movie Contact. Uh-huh. And then you got that whole, you know, the whole thing with Independence Day. Mm-hmm. And we sent stuff out, and then we can go look at Star Trek and what happened with V'ger.
That's right. Okay.
So, but we could also look at this like this way. It could be a Dyson sphere. If you know what a Dyson sphere is, go look at the fourth episode of the sixth season of Star Trek: The Next Generation called Relics. It's where Scotty shows back up because his shuttle is a crashed on a diasphere around the sun.
So it's like a gateway of something.
No, a diasphere is basically they formed a structure around the sun. So it's getting 100% of the sun's energy.
Okay.
So it's like taking like a light bulb and putting a completely solid glass around it, and inside everything is getting the entire every bit of energy of the sun. And so none of it's wasted.
Okay, so and then what happens? Well, what does Scotty has to do with it?
Well, Scotty was in the episode. That's how they brought Scotty back on The Next Generation.
Oh, okay. I can't remember that episode. But anyway, I don't know if that would happen. So you're saying bringing somebody from the dead or bringing...
I'm just saying that's the comparative to a Dyson sphere.
Okay.
So now, if you want to know what a Dyson sphere is, we'll talk about that. In the 1960s, renowned physicist Freeman Dyson argued that the energy demands of any intelligent race would, within a few millennia using advanced technology, outstrip whatever supply was available on the planet. Hello, look at us now. In that case, the most effective way to start capturing more energy would be build a solar panel contraption to capture the star's light in such a structure that would start small, but in theoretically eventually cover the whole star's what's now called a diosphere.
Dyson sphere. So I see what you're saying now.
So basically you're building a structure around the sun so that none of the light escapes and all that energy is harnessed in some form, shape, or the other.
So if it's outside the Earth, yes, you can do that. Yeah, well, that's our problem. We have shadows here. I mean, there's a nighttime. You can have some. But if your structure is outside the Earth, then you can capture the whole sun every time, right?
Well, it all depends. I mean, the chances of us ever doing this within the next 2 or 3 millennia, probably not going to happen. We're just not that smart.
That's the problem. These guys, these aliens, who has that technology, this periodic
Why
sounds
that
is happening
into this.
Huh?
Why are you going to bring the Mexicans into this?
No, not those kind of aliens. Oh. No, the aliens...
We'll build a wall. We won't build a diosphere.
These
we'll build
extraterrestrial creatures, they have the technology to harness the sun. And we don't have... We do have that in a very molecular... compared to what they're doing. And do you think we want them here? We want to attack... not attack.
I don't know. That's one of those things.
Attract
do we
attention?
Want them here?
Hey, there are living people here. Why don't you visit us?
Reminisce with Rama. So we'll see how that goes. But there's also another option. Could it be a ring world, a.k.a. Larry Niven's dream?
Larry Niven.
So it could be similar to that. Imagine a giant band circling a star.
Mm-hmm.
That would probably also call some of the microwaves to be disrupted.
Well, it could be, but...
Because then we could do all Halo on it. Talk about a game coming like art imitating life.
Yeah.
You know how we talked about Star Trek with the, phaser, where, telephones and flip phones and all that stuff coming to be?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we've got Halo that has a ring world in it. Well, now we just found a ring world.
You just like
rings.
And
we get to go blow shit up.
And we'll see what
happens. No, it's a ring world, not a cock ring.
Not a cock ring.
Yeah.
So I'm just afraid of what these extraterrestrials can do if they can.
Well, that's always been the thing. Either it will be the greatest day in the world when we meet some outside intelligent life, or it'll be the worst day.
Or it could be the destruction of the Earth.
Pretty much.
That's more likely.
But we're doing a plenty good job destroying the Earth ourselves. So it's not like,
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go on with the bizarre. Ex-cop pretended to be a woman to lure... Sorry. No, wait. Did we go geek? That's the geek already.
That's the geek. Yeah.
Okay, the bizarre is ex-cop pretended to be a woman to lure 60 straight men to his glory hole, but did other even creepier stuff with it. Okay, it's weird.
It's creepy stuff for Halloween people.
Okay. If you arrange to meet someone to receive oral sex at their private glory hole, you can pretty much assume they aren't actually who they claim to be, especially as is the case with this former Missouri police officer if they claim to be a woman. I wonder how they make a girl voice. Hi, hello. Please come to my glory hole.
Like they needed all that. I'll put an ad on Craigslist. Guys start sending the messages, and they send the address, and they show up to the glory hole and get their dick sucked. They don't know if it's a woman or a man on the other side of that hole.
Yeah, that's true.
And most of them probably didn't really care.
Okay. So, but somehow at least 60 straight, in quotes, straight men were lured into David E. Serna's trap with the promise of an no-strings-attached blowjob. Serna then filmed the encounters and uploaded them to a porn site. And you see that a lot on, XTube or... No, it's mostly XTube. And he would do that. A guy would use the glory hole and everything. This one scheme alone already sends the creepometer soaring into the red zone, yet a full investigation into Serna revealed it to be hardly his worst offense. On multiple occasions, Serna used his authority as a police officer to molest boys. Oh my God. In one case, he detained an 18-year-old with a disability on Christmas Day, took him to a private holding cell, and sexually assaulted him. Well, he's 18 years old. He's not really a boy, nice. Well.
Well, he has a disability. It doesn't say, so it might be a mental disability. But still, I mean, still a cop comes up, and usually we're assuming it's a white boy because he did what he told him to.
Okay. The mother of that victim spoke out on Fox Files, saying it messed up my son up horribly. He is paranoid all the time, thinking that someone is watching him all the time. He won't sleep alone. He thinks people are after him all the time. Cerna also set up a hidden camera in a convenience store bathroom and uploaded those videos to a porn site as well.
So there's a porn site for people sitting in the bathroom in a convenience store taking a dump.
No, not necessarily. I don't think it's a for people dumping you. Maybe it is. I don't know. Also, I haven't seen it on XTube.
Well, most convenience store bathrooms are kind of nasty unless you're going into, like, I don't know, Bucky's or something.
Oh, that's
where you got like 10 or 20 urinals lined up there.
Yeah. So he now faces too many accounts. There's far too many crimes as to account. So just.
There's
crazy. I'm sure I may have seen this guy's
videos. There's crazy shit out there everywhere.
Yes, there could be real shit everywhere. Like so, the smiley pool I'm wearing right now.
So just remember, straight guys that watch the show, and we know who you are.
We know who you are because we watch you on XTube.
That's right. Just make sure when those women say, oh, I got a glory hole. How many women do you really know have a glory hole?
That's right. Okay, here's your... This article is for you, Ray, because it kind of fits your beard, I think.
Well, actually, this popped up on our – well, actually, I think I shared this, and it's like been the most read feed in a while.
It's very big in Gay Geek and Bizarre right now for some reason.
Beard baubles will turn your beard into a Christmas tree. Big bushy beards are approaching the mainstream. I think they're already here. So wannabe trendsetters need to find new ways of their facial foliage to stand out. This holiday season, these bizarre beard baubles will do the trick. These clip-on Christmas decorations will turn men's faces into glittering festive centerpieces. The Grey London Creative Agency, together with designers Mike Kennedy and Pauline Ashford, came up with a strange product. Surprisingly, they are wildly popular. The first one of them is already sold out, though more should be made available. The proceeds go to the Beard Season, an Australian charity whose goal is to raise...
Awareness
of melanoma. So basically, you buy these packs of what are like little Christmas balls, and they have hairpins in them that you stick in your beard.
And that's it. Actually, that's pretty much the basics of it. It's really just clips on your beard, and there you go.
And it does look kind of gay and like funny. I mean, it would be – it is cute, and they are raising money for melanoma. So at first I was like – because I didn't read – when I first read it, I was like – all right, guys with beards have gone too far. But when I saw that it was doing something to raise money for melanoma as a fundraiser, that it was pretty cool.
What's gonna stop people from doing the same thing and really just profit from it here in the U.S. or any other?
Well, they could. I mean, this one article is about this, that people were doing this to raise money for other stuff. And I guess somebody could do the same thing over here. Mm-hmm. Hopefully they're made out of plastic balls and not real glass ones. So.
Well, yeah.
So you don't go to kiss somebody or hug somebody and crunch. And cut your face off or be a bloody mess. So,
okay. So I hope you guys enjoyed those articles. I think this is one's art. Like I said, like Ray said, it's really famous right now on the Gay, the Geek, and Bizarre on Facebook. So you can check that out. Thank you, Caesar, for also, for your contributions on the website, on the Facebook page. All right. I guess that's it for the show. Do you have any shout outs?
Shout out to Kevin for my – oh, no. Maynard to post the picture here. For our listener comments.
He's very talented.
He's very talented. But I'm also, he kind of captured the inner me in that picture, which is a little crazy. But Ice Bear looks scared.
Yes, Ice Bears look scared.
So he'll put the picture up. So y'all tell me what y'all think about this fan. Oh, we got fan artwork.
It's fan artwork.
We got fan artwork. Yay!
That's right. Yay. Thank you. Okay, so what else? Oh,
I'll frame it and give it to my mother.
Oh, really? You need a high resolution. Version of it. Okay, so also thank you to Patrick and Jody for hosting a great party last Saturday.
Everybody go check out We Bear Bears so y'all understand my costume, okay?
He's just wearing a white shirt, so you just really get
to. I'm very virginal.
He's got an axe also. He's still in my car, so.
I thought you brought it in.
No, I didn't know. Okay, so I guess that's it. Thank you, everyone, for watching or listening. If you want to contact us, send your emails to show@bearpodcast.com.
Or if you want to leave us a call or voice message or whatever you want to call it these days, just drop us a line and say, hey. You can call us at 206-222-2327. That's 206-222-BEAR. Leave us a voicemail. We love to get voicemails.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, so we could play it in the show. That'd be great. And also follow us on subscribe via iTunes, also on YouTube and Vimeo. You can also listen to the show on Stitcher Radio and on Bear Radio Network. And you can also follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/bearpodcast, and Twitter. We're also on Twitter, twitter.com/bearpodcast, although I haven't been updating it lately. I've been usually posting the show notes on that. Not the show, the show links to that. And also you can go to the official website at bearpodcast.com. Yeah, check the website. And there's a donate link there. You know, if you want to give Ray some, you know, give me and Ray some, you know, treat us out for a Starbucks or something, you can
put it. Or we can use some new equipment.
Yeah, we can use.
We got some lights that are kind of on their last leg.
Yeah, like last week, it turned off by itself.
That was a ghost.
That was a ghost.
That was a ghost.
The ghost of John. Okay, so thank you everyone for watching, listening, and we'll catch you guys on the next episode of Bear Podcast. Many woofs and many hugs.
Woof, what a bear.
Podcast your ass.
Woof, what a bear. Woof, what a bear.